is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is Thief in Paradise. The only hope for this fear-filled world is to be found in the promises of God's Word. Ed, here is a puzzling situation. Jesus was crucified between two thieves, remember? Over his cross, an inscription proclaimed Jesus to be a king. So one of the thieves said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus answered, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, how could that be? What did Jesus mean? But first, may I tell our listeners that this Frank and Ernest program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, does the Bible answer my question? What did Jesus mean? Remember that both Jesus and the thief were dying at the time.
I'm aware of that, Russell. So let us talk about the conversation between Jesus and the thief on the cross. It is one of the many in the Bible which helps us to understand the divine plan for the establishment of a rulership of righteousness and the restoration of paradise conditions on the earth.
That's all right with me, Ed, but right away we encounter a difficulty, it seems to me. The thief asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom.
That's correct. And then Jesus replied to the thief, promise him a place in the paradise.
But that's just where the difficulty arises. Jesus said to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It was a promise which was to be fulfilled that very day, indicating that Jesus and the thief would go to paradise as soon as they had died.
But Russell, neither Jesus nor the thief actually went to paradise when they died that day.
But Ed, that's what Jesus said.
Well, Russell, the main stumbling block to a proper understanding of the conversation between Jesus and the thief is a misplaced comma in our King James translation of the Bible. Put the comma in its proper place, as some other translations do, and the narrative takes on a meaning wholly in harmony with the general testimony of the entire Bible.
But, Ed, do we have a right, do we have the authority to change the Bible? Remember that it is the inspired Word of God.
It's not a matter of changing the inspired Word of God, for the punctuation of the Bible is not inspired. Like the chapter and verse divisions of the Bible, punctuation was added centuries later with a view to making the meaning clearer. In most instances, it is a great help, but in some cases, the improper use of punctuation has changed the meaning of what was originally written.
Now, that is very interesting to me.
Copies of the original manuscripts are on display in many of the important libraries of the world. I saw some myself in the Vatican Library in Rome and the British Museum in London. The truth is that punctuation was not invented until the 15th century A.D.
Well, now, that seems to be correct, because I have seen the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I realize that the lettering in the Dead Sea Scrolls was not divided by punctuation. But getting back to Jesus' statement to the thief, just how has punctuation changed its meaning? It now reads, and I have my Bible here, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
And by placing the comma after the word today rather than before it, the text reads, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The emphasis, you see, is on the day when Jesus made the promise, not on the time it would be fulfilled.
But, Ed, why should Jesus want to emphasize the particular day in which he made the promise of paradise to the thief?
Well, the thief asked to be remembered in Christ's kingdom, didn't he? And the Bible clearly teaches that the reign of Christ will cause God's will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. On the day the thief asked to be remembered in his kingdom, Jesus the King was being crucified. For this reason, it seems impossible that he should ever have a kingdom in which the thief, or in fact, the whole world of mankind, could be blessed. But Jesus had full confidence in his heavenly Father's ability to raise him from the dead, and in his own due time empower him to establish such a government in the earth. Hence the emphasized promise to the thief, "Verily I say unto thee, today, this dark day when it looks as though my mission on earth has failed, thou shalt be with me in paradise. My kingdom will be established, and paradise will be restored."
Thank you very much, Ed. That makes the matter plain as day. It's easy enough to have faith and hope when circumstances around us are fairly bright and pleasant. But for Jesus to have a vision of truth and a faith in that vision, which pierced the gloom of his suffering and distress as he was upon the cross, is really something else.
And that's very true, Russell. And for his followers of today, we have a somewhat similar situation. It is only as we know of God's long-range plan and realize that despite all signs to the contrary, Christ's kingdom is now indeed just around the corner, that we can have real hope.
And because Jesus knew this, he could say to the thief, even though he was then dying, that in his kingdom would the thief be restored and enjoy life in paradise.
And similarly, Russell, on the authority of God's promise, we can say to the world today that there is soon to be universal peace and happiness and freedom for all nations. We can say this because not only has God promised it, but his almighty power guarantees it.
But now to get back to Jesus and the thief on the cross. Have we any other reason for thinking that the promise to the thief was not fulfilled on that very day?
Yes, we do, Russell. On one occasion, when Jesus prophesied of his own death, he said that as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days. And that's recorded in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 40. And if he was to be in the heart of the earth, he could certainly not be in paradise.
Well, that seems very evident. But, Ed, in what sense was Jesus in the heart of the earth?
Well, this was just another way of saying that he would be in death or the death condition. In Isaiah 53:12, we read that he poured out his soul unto death. You see, Jesus died as a substitute for the forfeited life of Adam. Thus, as all lost life through Adam, they will be awakened from death and given an opportunity to regain everlasting life through Christ. This opportunity will be given during the future 1,000 years of Christ's reign.
That will be the time, then, when the earthly paradise will be restored and Jesus' promise to the thief on the cross will be fulfilled.
And that's correct, Russell. Naturally, there are many questions which properly arise in connection with the points we've been discussing, but these questions are dealt with in the little book, Hope Beyond the Grave. Russell, will you tell our friends about this little book and how they may obtain a free copy?
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to. First, I will say that all one needs to do in order to get a copy of the little book, Hope Beyond the Grave, is to mail a request to Frank and Ernest. And friends, you really should do this, for here is a little book which presents the hope of life after death in a very tangible, practical, and understandable manner. It answers such questions as, what and where is hell? What is the soul? Are human souls immortal? Can the living talk with the dead? And, of course, a full review of the thoughts presented to us by Ed in this broadcast. We have all wondered whether or not we will ever again meet our loved ones who have died. The answer is contained in the little book, Hope Beyond the Grave. So send for it today. Address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and ask for the Hope Book. Just the one word, hope, is all you need to remember. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the Hope Book, and it will be sent to you free by mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. This program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and the Friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Ask your friends to listen, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.